Blog Talk Radio.
GoDownMedia.com.
And good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Red Fox Blogger, Infidels Are Watching, with your host, Cal Fritzy. Before I delve into the show, I just want to share a few side notes with you. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, if you live in my area, it is very, very hot out there. Make sure your pets and your children are well protected from this heat wave that we are going to experience for the entire week. Do not leave anything breathing in your vehicle. Do not make the mistakes that we constantly hear about in the news, in the headlines, with dogs and children that are left in idle vehicles. Just make sure that you take care. Take care of your children, take care of your pets, and have plenty of cold, fresh water. So I just wanted to get that out of the way. I also want to talk about something. And you guys are going to laugh at me. I know you will. I called into a radio show on the weekend, but I didn't call in to make a comment per se. I called in to say, hey, buddy, where's your chat room? And, well, the next thing you know, I was engaging in a dialogue over Islam, which, of course, is what I do. But I was kind of taken off guard in doing that. I didn't have anything in front of me, and I was misquoting statistics. I was so terribly embarrassed by that. I was trying to relate a statistic. I said billion instead of million on his program. Like I say, I was humiliated by that. I had to email him and apologize profoundly, and he was very gracious, and he said, do not worry about it. We do that sort of thing all the time. So I just want to thank the radio host for his graciousness and forgiving me in my very, very, very sorry misquote. And something else. I have in front of me about $400 worth of studio equipment, and I don't have a damned clue how to rig it up. If you want to get in touch with me and help me rig up this studio equipment, I would be forever grateful to you. Oh, boy, I'm telling you. It's been quite the week. And finally, before I get into the issue with Al Sharpton, I am having dental work done. Now, I never shut up about my dental work because it's ongoing. It's been ongoing for 6 weeks now. But I have a new plate in my mouth, and I'm getting used to speaking with it. Oh, yeah. When you have dentistry, cosmetic dentistry done, you really do have to learn how to speak all over again, your allocation and everything. But this one particular plate, it's right in the front of my mouth. And, of course, that is where the tongue connects when you are relating your voice. Well, I have to be very careful with my enunciation. Otherwise, I sound like I've been drinking a little bit too much. Seriously. I like my new teeth. I think they're fantastic because I am getting my smile back. But it does take some getting used to. I'm working on that. So if you hear me sound a little slurry, that's all it is. I'm just getting used to the new teeth. Okay. Now that you've heard about the day in the life of Cal Fritzie, I want to talk about Al not so Sharpton. I'm exposing this racist, and I don't care what anybody thinks about what I say because I'm furious with this person. He is nothing but a race baiter, and he showed his ugly head again during the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman trial. George Zimmerman was found not guilty on the weekend. Amen to that. But Al Sharpton, he got his face right in there. And he turned this into an issue of a race. The thing is, it was not about race at all in the first place. It was about a confrontation between two adults that ended badly. George Zimmerman did not intend on killing anybody that night during his neighborhood watch patrol. You know what? I'll tell you right now, I swear that George Zimmerman wished that he had just stayed in his home and watched a movie that night. This is not the nightmare that he envisioned for himself and his family. George Zimmerman although acquitted, he will never be free because there are bounties on his head. Because the likes of Al Sharpton, who interferes with due process and public opinion, he decides that, hey, it's a race issue. Can you guys help me out with this? I did not realize that Hispanics were white. I thought they were Hispanic, which George Zimmerman is. Oh, wait, Al Sharpton, baby, thank you. You brought it to the forefront. He has a white parent. There you go. Okay, got you, Al. Thanks, Al. Thanks for that. You know what? Al Sharpton, he's never going to ever listen to this program. He's never going to know what I have to say about him and what I think of him. Unless the guy has spies everywhere. I don't know. I am so furious about this, though. I've had it with the Al Sharptons and the Jesse Jacksons and the Barack Hussein Obamas who feel they have to step in and share with us their opinion in terms of race relations. Like I say, Dr. Martin Luther King, he's got to be rolling in his grave over what these shysters are doing in terms of community, in terms of unity. They are destroying that in the United States of America. These two, I don't understand how this guy gets paid for what he does. Gets paid. He's a greaseball. I mean, he even looks like a greaseball. I mean, that what was with the hair? You know, all slicked back in. What's he using there? WD-40? He is very unpleasant looking as well. He's fat. He's bloated in the face. No offense to fat people. No offense to overweight people. I don't mean it that way, but you do know what I mean when I say that. He is not a pleasant-looking man. Neither is Jesse Jackson. They're both bloated in the face. They both walk around with proverbial smirks on their faces, and they always seem to have black eyes that shine anger. These are angry, angry men, and they step out, and they talk about these cases. You know, if they had left it alone, and Barack Hussein Obama, you're not off the hook either, buddy. If they had left this alone, this trial would have been not even in the news. It would have been another tragic incident that occurred in Florida. But you know what, Al Sharpton? You did bring it up. And you did talk about it. And I'm here to tell you what I think about you. And it's time that people do exactly what you are. You are a race baiter and a shyster, a liar, an imposter. You have absolutely no respect for the United States of America, nor its people, nor of racial unity. You are so eager to insert your big mouth into every issue, even if it remotely stink of a racial issue, which this one did not. But you stepped in and you decided, hey, I have something to get on my soapbox about, and that's what I'm going to do. You put yourself in the limelight again, and you know what? That's exactly what it is. You put yourself in the limelight because, boy, were the ratings getting low there on your show, Al Sharpton? Is that what was going on? Hey, ratings were low? Nobody was listening to you on your miserable little TV show? Because that's what it is. It's miserable. And you know what, Al Sharpton? You're a miserable man. And for what you did, I condemn you for how you came out and you declared that this was something worthy of a race war. And you know what else, Sharpton? Ha, ha, ha. It didn't happen. But what you did accomplish was establishing protests. You divided the people again. Jesse Jackson, you're just as bad. Barack Hussein Obama, you are a miserable excuse for the people's president. So what's been going on there, Al Sharpton? Let me tell you. In the 513 days between the Trayvon dying and the Zimmerman trial verdict, 11,106 blacks have been murdered by other blacks. Are you talking about that, Al Sharpton? Are you? Well, let's be exact. Now, there is a shameful truth that we have to recognize, is that 93% of African-American murders are committed by other African-Americans. That is awful. When you consider how incensed the African-American community is about Trayvon Martin and his tragedy, and it doesn't matter what you think about Zimmerman's guilt, this is a reality within the African-American community within the United States. You know, let's do some math, shall we? We're not doing this to be morbid or anything like that, but these are hard facts that we have to recognize. It manifests incredible self-centered insanity of people like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. 8,000 to 9,000 African Americans are murdered each year. And like I say, 93% of them by other African Americans. On average, that is 7,905. That is 21.65 murdered each day. Their race baiting and their culture hustling, they're microphone pimps. They get riled up when a white Hispanic kills an African American. It's shameful. And like I say, since when did a Hispanic become a white? I am really shocked by this. And like I say, and I want to repeat this to you, these are the stats. This is within 513 days between Trayvon Martin dying and George Zimmerman being acquitted. 513 days, 93% of African Americans kill other African Americans. Unbelievable. And Al Sharpton, he thinks he has a right to lecture us about race relations. He doesn't know the first thing about race relations. This man should be taken off the stage. He should be sequestered somewhere himself. His microphone should be confiscated. This man is doing more damage to the people of the United States and harmony than any other person could ever accomplish. He's done more damage than any white man could accomplish. And that is a comment that I'm reading to you that was in a comment section. And it's true. That commenter was right. Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, Barack Hussein Obama, and others of their ilk, they have to go. All they are doing is creating more dissension. I just want to check in the chat room to make sure that people can hear me, because I'm always very, very paranoid that people can't. And they can, thank goodness. And I'm going to take a break and say hello to everybody in my chat room in a minute when I can type with both hands. But you know what? Why don't we do a little, a little more expose on Al Sharpton. Oh, and I got Islamic nonsense for you in the second hour. You'll love the Islamic nonsense I have. Boy, oh boy. But sticking with Al Sharpton for now. The Reverend Al Sharpton. Please. This guy is hardly a Christian. He is not a Christian. In my... How shall I put this? And I'm always saying, how shall I put this? Because it's kind of like a... It's kind of like... I don't know what to make of these so-called pastors that come out. You know, they're kind of like the Terry Jones that think burning a Koran is, real damned clever. But the Reverend Al Sharpton, he's not a Christian. These are not Christian people. These are people with evil in their heart. These are people that divide us as a community, as a global community. Like I say, though, Al Sharpton, I am taking you to task because you are the racist. Let me see. What has Al Sharpton, what has his life been like? Oh, let me see. We have tax evasion. That's right, in 1988. Sharpton, he said that he saw no reason why blacks should pay taxes. What did he say? If we do not have a justice system that protects us, what are we paying for? And, well, you know, he faced multiple charges for that one, and he faced one conviction of tax evasion. Mm-hmm. Pardon me for a sec. Oh, I love this one. Tawana Brawley in 1987. Al Sharpton, during the infamous case of Tawana Brawley, she was the one, if you will remember, who falsely accused a former assistant district attorney of raping and sodomizing her. Now, Tawana, she stated that white racists abducted, raped, and sodomized her and scrawled the initials KKK on her in human feces. A grand jury later found the entire incident a complete hoax. Now, what probably happened in that incident is that Miss Brawley, she was afraid of punishment for staying out too late, so she fabricated the entire story. But that did not stop Al Sharpton. He accused Pagones, an assistant district attorney, of the crime. His quote, "We stated openly that Stephen Pagone did it. If we're lying, sue us, so we can go into court with you and prove you did it. Sue us. Sue us right now." Well, you know what? Pagones did, because after receiving death threats and threats against his child, Pagone sued Sharpton and two others for defamation, and a jury unanimously concluded that Sharpton defamed Pagone, and he ordered the jury ordered Sharpton to pay $65,000 in damages to Pagone. And what did Al Sharpton do? He promptly announced he's not going to pay. But he did in the end, because a couple of years later, Sharpton's buddies, they passed the hat and paid off Sharpton's debt, which in the end totaled $87,000 because of the interest and penalties. Sharpton never paid a penny of his own to Bagones, and he refused to apologize. What did he say? I did what I believed. They were asking me to grovel. They want black children to say they forced a black man coming out of the hardcore ghetto to his knees. Once he began bending, it's, did you bend today? Or I missed that apology? Say it again. Once you start compromising, you lose respect for yourself. And sorry, my southern accent jumped out on me. But this guy is unrepentant. He doesn't care. He's proven wrong over and over and over and over again. And he still refuses to be repentant. What about the Central Park jogger? Okay? In 1989, there was a jogger in Central Park. She was a young white woman. She was monstrously raped. She was nearly beaten to death in that park. And Sharpton insisted, despite the defendant's confessions, that her black attackers were innocent. That's right. Monstrously raped. And Sharpton is still defending the defendants, and that is despite their confessions. He said her black attackers were innocent, modern-day Scottsboro boys trapped in a fit of racial hysteria. Sharpton charged the jogger's boyfriend did it. That's right. He was trying to pass it off to the victim's boyfriend. He organized protests outside the courthouse, and he was encouraging the crowd to chant, "The boyfriend did it. The boyfriend did it," and denouncing the victim as a whore. What else did he do? He brought Tawana Brawley to that trial to show her white justice, quote unquote. What else do we have here on his rap sheet? This list just goes on and on and on. Crown Heights and Diamond Merchants in 1991. Gavin, this one just really, really blows my gasket. In 1991, Gavin Cato, he was a 7-year-old black child. He was killed in a traffic accident in Crown Heights, and that's in Brooklyn. When a car driven by a Hasidic Jew, it went out of control. Sharpton turned it into a racial incident. Sharpton led 400 protesters through the Jewish section of Crown Heights, with one protester holding a sign that read, "The white man is the devil." There were 4 nights of rock and bottle throwing, and a young Tamalic scholar was surrounded by a mob shouting, "Kill the Jew," and he was stabbed to death. 100 others were injured. Sharpton said, "The world will tell us that Gavin Cato was killed by accident. What type of city do we have that would allow politics to rise above the blood of innocent babies?" You, Sharpton! For God's sake. Do you believe that? That was in Crown Heights in 1991 when Gavin Cato was run over in a traffic accident by a Hasidic Jew. It was an accident. It was a car accident. Do you really think this particular Hasidic Jew set out to murder a 7-year-old? But there was Al Sharpton, right in the middle of it, organizing protests, having them hold up signs that say the white man is the devil and kill the Jew. And one Talmudic scholar stabbed to death. I could go on and on and on. I have a whole rap sheet here on this guy. I don't even know where to stop. Well, we could go to Arafat. What about when Sharpton announced in 2001 that he was going on a trip to the Middle East? He had some help. Now remember, Crown Heights in 1991 and a trip to the Middle East in 2001 with the help of a rabbi. Sharpton, he promised not to meet with Yasser Arafat, but days later he did. You opened up your New Yorker magazine, and what do you see? A smiling Arafat and Sharpton meeting and shaking hands in Israel. The rabbi who sponsored the trip was furious. Rabbi Bochich, he said, prior to our recent trip to Israel, U.S. black leader Reverend Al Sharpton and I discussed several times that there were to be no meetings with Arab or Palestinian leaders, not because I wished to set preconditions for our travel, but because the express objective of our mission was to show solidarity with Israel and Israeli victims of terror. The idea was to provide a magnanimous gesture of friendship and solidarity with the Jewish nation that would hopefully have strong reparations for relationships of the Jewish and black communities back home. And, of course, what did Al Sharpton do? Turned rogue. Turned traitor. I always found that rather interesting, though, that a rabbi would sponsor his trip to Israel after what happened in Crown Heights in 1991. Freddie's Fashion Mart. White Interloper. Oh, that's in 1995. This is why I find this rather flabbergasting. There was a Jewish store owner in Harlem. He was accused of driving a black record store owner out of business. When the United House of Prayer, one of the largest black landlords on 125th Street in Harlem, raised the rent on a fashion mart that was owned by a Jew. Al Sharpton, he got right on his soapbox and said, "You're raising the rent on a black owner of a business on purpose, because you're a white man. You don't like us." What do? Held a demonstration. Accused the Jewish store owner of being an interloper, a whitey. He instigated protesters, one in particular, a black man, of storming Freddie's Fashion Mart with a pistol, screaming, "It's on now, all blacks out." Yeah. Instigating another riot. His opinion on O.J. Simpson. Organizing the Million Man March in Washington. Screaming, "O.J. is home, but Mumia Abdul-Jamil ain't home, and we won't stop till all our people that need a chance in an awkward and unbalanced criminal justice system can come home." Mumia Abdul-Jamil is a convicted rabble-rouser. This guy, like I say, his rap sheet is so long. I could go on and on and on. The FBI, his cocaine conviction, You know, this guy is nothing more than a bully, and he's a criminal, and he is divisive. He is interfering with people who just want to engage in moving on with their quiet lives. He had no business messing around with the Martin Zimmerman trial at all. He was hoping for the race riots to occur after the verdict was read out. This guy now has nowhere to go. Trial's over. It's done. Bully for you, Al Sharpton, you racist pig that you are. You're a pig, Al Sharpton. That's all you are. You're a pig and you're a bully. And you throw your greasy weight around. You rile people up. That's all you do. That's all you accomplish. And you hang around with terrorists like Arafat. That's all you do. You are going to face justice one day. I am here to tell you. And of course, you will never hear my voice. You'll never hear this program. But I'm here to tell my listeners exactly what you are. What happened to you, Sharpton? Your parents gave up on you long ago, obviously. But it's time that you got that slap in the back of the head that you deserved. Because we've had it with you. We've had it with your ilk. I would love to sit down with you. Even for an hour. And ask you, how do you sleep at night with the damage that you create? With the havoc that you encourage to do this to the American people? Al Sharpton, you're a pig. I want to ask you something else too, Al Sharpton. Why is it that when blacks engage in heinous crimes, that you never come out and talk about that? Oh, you're more than willing to come out and, denounce George Zimmerman for killing the Skittles carrier, Trayvon Martin. Yeah, George Zimmerman, he was a creepy-ass cracker. You were more than willing to come out on that. But what about when your brethren kills the white man? We never hear you over that. How come you never brought up the issue of Shannon Christian and Chris Newsom? How come you never talked about them? Hey, Al Sharpton. Bing, bing, bing. Should I draw your memory? Here. This happened on the night of Saturday, January 6th of 2007. Christopher Newsom, Shannon Christian, they went out on a date. Newsom was 23 years old. He was a carpenter. Christian was 21 years old, and she was a senior majoring in sociology at the University of Tennessee. They've been dating for a couple of months. They were quite smitten with each other. That particular Saturday night, they had had a nice romantic dinner at a Knoxville restaurant. And young Shannon, she spoke to her mother at 12:30 a.m. saying that her and Chris were going off to a friend's place to watch some movies. But you know what? That never happened. They were carjacked by a group of black thugs. Hey, Al Sharpton, I'm just wondering, do you want to know what happened to this young couple that you absolutely refuse to discuss? I want to bring up the article proper. What happened is that Shannon Christian and Christopher Newsom, they were carjacked. Instead of arriving at their friend's home, they were taken by a group of black thugs to a home where they were held hostage. But the liberal ruling class, they never talked about it. The race hustlers, like Al Sharpton, kept it under wraps. Al Sharpton, do you know what these individuals did to this couple? Eric Dwayne E. Boyd, Natalvis Rome Cobbins, Vanessa Coleman, Lamarius Slim Davidson, George G. Thomas. Do you know what they did to this couple? They carjacked Shannon's mother's car. Of course, she had borrowed her mother's car. She was driving. They took them to this home. Days for days for days, they were tortured. I don't really want to share with my listeners the details of the torture, but let me tell you, it was gruesome. It was terrifying. There was mutilation and rape involved. Christopher Newsom was finally dragged to the train tracks. He was shot in the back of the head. This is after he was physically mutilated, after he was raped numerous times, and his body set on fire. Shannon Christian, unfortunately, lived on for another 2 days, and the abuse did not stop with her. In their endeavor to try to erase evidence that she had been violated, they poured bleach down her throat where she was forced to engage in oral sex. So they poured bleach down her throat, and they washed her in the bleach. But that wasn't good enough. They had to put a garbage bag over her head. They dumped her while she was still alive. She died of asphyxiation. Hey, Al Sharpton, are you listening? How come that case never came to trial in your eyes? Where were the protests then, Al Sharpton? I am telling you, I'm sick and tired of this one-sidedness with this Al Sharpton. He's all more than ready to put down the white boy. They're putting down the black man. But when it comes to what his own brethren does, he's quiet. Very, very quiet, isn't he? What about what happened to in Pascala? Al Sharpton?
With the big story on X.
Oh, and my screen jumped on me. What about Alton Pasquella, Al Sharpton? Do you remember her? Yeah, she was a 12-year-old. She was strangled. She was dumped in a garbage by two teenage brothers. They lured her away from her home. They wanted her bike. They wanted to take the bike parts from her BMX bicycle. This happened in the town of Clayton, New Jersey. Justin, 15, and Dante, 17. Justin and Dante Robinson. They were charged with murdering a 12-year-old. She disappeared while riding her bike. After a 48-hour search for Autumn Pasquale, they found her body stuffed in a recycling bin behind a vacant house next to the one where the boys lived with their family. These two were sociopaths. They beat her, they strangled her, and they stuffed her into that bin like a piece of garbage. Al Sharpton, that was someone's little girl. Where were you for that one? Where were you, Al? Come on, Al. Hey, buddy. Here, boy. Come here, Al. Al, come on. I'm sitting here waiting for you. Where were you for that one? Oh, no. It was a white girl. It don't matter. You bastard. You're always so damned quiet when it's blacks committing heinous crimes. You get very, very silent, don't you? But when, and this I still do not understand, Al, how you managed this one, a white Hispanic? Al, how did you do that? You are one amazing man. A white Hispanic. Yeah, that's right. George Zimmerman. Yeah, he left his house to look for somebody to murder. Yeah, he wanted to kidnap someone and rape and torture them in his house for, oh, I don't know, 2-3 days? Or, no, he was actually looking for a 12-year-old girl to, I don't know, steal her bike parts. Yeah, that's what George was doing. Yeah, that's what George Zimmerman was up to. Uh-huh. Okay. Al, you have serious problems. You know what? I think you're mentally insane. I think you're more insane than I am being driven to by the ilk that I have to come across my desk every single day and read this crap that you dump in my lap. Here, hey Al, take a listen to this, okay? I'm going to backtrack this. Take a listen, Al Sharpton.
But the big story on Action News this noon is new information on the two teenage brothers accused of killing 12-year-old Autumn Pasquale. Action News reporter Catherine Scott is live now in Clayton, New Jersey, with more on today's developments. Catherine?
Sarah, the teens are expected in court later this week. Meanwhile, their father is speaking out now, saying that his heart goes out to the family of Autumn Pasquale. He says he's stunned at the allegations that his sons could have had something to do with her death.
12-year-old girl. You know what I mean? I didn't sleep last night.
With his sons, Justin and Dante Robinson, charged with first-degree murder, Alonzo Robinson is trying to make sense of their alleged roles in the death of 12-year-old Autumn Pasquale. Alonzo says he hasn't seen his 15 and 17-year-old sons in a year, explaining it's been difficult to communicate with them since the divorce from their mother 7 years ago.
It's hard for me to swallow. You know, they're my two little sons. I would like to meet her family. You know, I wouldn't mind going to see them, you know. not right now, but maybe, you know, in the future.
Alonzo's sons attend Clayton and Bankridge High Schools and live with their mother next door to the vacant house where Autumn's body was found late Monday night in a backyard recycling bin. Authorities say the brothers lured her there on the premise of trading bike parts and allegedly killed her in the basement. Detectives zeroed in on the two teens after their mother went to authorities about suspicious Facebook postings. Meanwhile, memorials growing near the crime scene several blocks from Clayton's middle and high schools, which are located on the same campus. Grief counseling is available for students in both, trying to cope with the loss of a classmate and the accusations against another.
It's quiet a little bit, you know, walking down the hallways.
I grew up with the kids that did it, and I was just like, wow, like, why would they do that?
Now, authorities say an extensive search for Autumn was launched as soon as she was reported missing on Saturday night, but now Autumn's family members say that they're going to be reaching out to the state attorney general's office. They're not sure that the initial response was adequate, and they want someone investigating what exactly happened here over the weekend. We're live in Clayton, Catherine Scott, Channel 6 Action News.
All right, Catherine, thank you.
Tonight is the measure of whether the country begins in the state of Wisconsin a national drive to push back, or whether we have more to go to build a movement of resistance. But resist we much. We must and we will much about that be committed.
And see what I mean? The guy's a mushmouth to boot. I think he misses his teleprompter more than Barack Hussein Obama does. The guy is totally out of it. I do not even want to get the results of his IQ test. I have no idea where this guy came from, how he came to be, and what he is up to. I have no idea how this guy can swindle millions and millions of dollars of people that follow him. What an asshat. Seriously, I can't stand this guy. I think he is harming the United States. He has got to be the worst thing to be unleashed upon the American people. I cannot remember anything even remotely that would match him in the United States. Well, of course, you know, don't get me started about Islam. All right, but I'm getting into Islam in a little bit because I do have some Islamic idiocy to share with you in the second hour. But Al Sharpton, I want it made clear to you that you can no longer hide from the spotlight, and what you do and what you're up to and what you're trying to create with your brother, Barack Hussein Obama and Jesse Jackson. There's a lot more out there I could highlight, but I really wanted to concentrate on Reverend Al Sharpton today. Obama, you'll never listen to this program either, unless you also have spies all over the place. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, that, right, you do. Hey, Obama, okay. So I know for a fact Obama will listen to this show. Yay! You should have kept your big mouth shut. How dare you stand up there and say Trayvon Martin was the son I never had? Or really? You had to do that? You know what a president would have done? They would have said, I trust in our judicial system, and that justice will be met. Or you simply would have pretended you did not even hear the question and continued walking. But no, you had to really, really mess around, Obama. Trayvon Martin. It's because of you and Al Sharpton that this entire case was turned global and that you were hoping to incite race riot. And I know you were, Obama. Don't even lie to me. That's what you were trying to do. Create havoc. Create problems within societal America. Damn fools, both of them. I'm going to take a break. I have a song here I want to play. I haven't played this one for a while. I really, really think it is suitable at this point. This is a song by Sade, and she's one of my favorite singers. I was actually on a conference call this morning with the person who has a radio program right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm his producer. And he had something playing in the background. It was very, very quiet. It's like, well, what's that? It's like, oh, Sade. Oh, I love her. She's great. So you know what? I was speaking with him about what I was up to on my show today. Actually, he was wearing a T-shirt. That's what he was doing. Yeah. He had gone to a Sade concert. And I said, oh, my goodness, you saw her in concert? So, okay, I'm going off the track a bit here, but got me to thinking. There is a really good song of hers that I enjoy very much, and I think it's totally appropriate in relation to Al Sharpton. I will be back in 4 minutes.
Across the north and south to get out of love for death.
Everybody, and I'm glad that you enjoyed that song. I hope you did anyway. And well, I just want to say that there is one thing that I want to share with you, is that there is an issue with what George Zimmerman is up to. Al Sharp, not George Zimmerman. My apologies. I'm sorry. I got distracted by something in the chat room, and I was reading a comment at the same time. But what Al Sharpton is up to, he is a very, very, very dangerous man. Very dangerous to the public. He is unleashed. I am a lover of people. That's what I am. That's all I am. I am all I can be. Al Sharpton, though, he disappoints me as a human being in that he could engage in such divisions and try to take it to the point of riot, which is what he was hoping to accomplish. Black, white, red, yellow, polka dot, purple, pink, green. We are all one race. We are the human race. We belong under one umbrella of unity. People like Al Sharpton are intent to divide that. I refuse to tolerate it. I had to share with you exactly what this SLB was up to. He guided this trial. He did. He guided the trial. He guided it in public opinion. I am ashamed to breathe the same air that he breathes, because in my eyes, he is not an esteemed gentleman. He's not to be held in esteem. Al Sharpton is dangerous. Al Sharpton will not slow down. However, I wish Al Sharpton well. I want him to have a voice and talk about issues within the United States, within Canada, within anywhere. I just want him to stay away from what is going on in our justice system. And there is a justice system. We do have it. We saw justice being served on Saturday evening when George Zimmerman was acquitted. I put on my Facebook page that I pray for peace for George Zimmerman and his family. And I meant that, of course. Of course. Of course I did. I pray for peace for the Martin family as well. Life is so not going to be easy for either family. But I'm very, very worried for George Zimmerman and his family because he will never be free. He may have been acquitted of the charges, but he's never going to be free. There are already bounties on his head. The Martin family, they'll be fine. They have the backing of everything from, I don't know, the government, obviously, Barack Hussein Obama. They've got him in their pocket. But there are people out there that are really gunning for the Zimmerman family right now. There is already a lynch mob out there. There are thugs already threatening the Zimmerman family, and not only their family, anybody associated with them, and now they are going after the jury. That's right. A lot of people were confused by the jury system in Florida. It was comprised of six. Unless it's a capital case, Florida, they only have six jurors. If it's a capital case, well, then they have 12. In George Zimmerman's trial, they had six, and they were all women who reached a verdict of not guilty. But what comes out the next day, this is what we get in the Twitter sphere. I'm going to read you some tweets. You won't believe this. Here we go. Lynch mob thugs threaten the Zimmerman jury. Niggas coming for that bitch-ass jury. The jury better invest in the biggest security they can. People are coming after them, too. Oh, yeah, and here we go with the eubonics. Zimmerman got the least of worries. The real crazy folks are coming after the jury for making the decision. College freshman. Oh, and this one is very expletive laden. I'm going to be careful with this one. F. Zimmerman, F. his family, F. the six holes on that jury, F. 12 in Florida's judicial system. Karma is a biatch. Okay. Zimmerman, a biatch. The judge, a biatch. The jury are all bitches. F all them bitches. Okay. I tried to clean it up a little bit, but it's impossible. Not guilty to every lousy biatch on that jury. F all of you. These are tweets, people. These are tweets. F the system. F the jury. F the government and F Zimmerman. Biatch ass. Most of all, F them. Racist ass mother effing reporters on Fox News. F. George Zimmerman. Let's kill every jury, biatch, son, and see how they feel. Jeez, I'm telling you. Somebody should kill one of the jury members' sons and let the killer free. It is unreal what's going on out there. Here, I have the link. I'm going to put it in the chat room for you because you have to really read this for yourself, these links. Like I say, they are so expletive-laden, I cannot even relate them. Like, unreal. What kind of... And for those who are arriving late, I just want to reiterate, I am in the midst of dental surgery, and I have a lisp. So if you hear me talking like this, that's just me trying to talk, getting used to my new teeth. But what kind of subhuman beings walk around and talk like that? And they put it on Twitter. They put it on the internet. For God's sake, you know what? Ice Cube. Yeah, he weighed in. Yeah, all the usuals. Chris Rock. Oh, and what did Beyonce? I think it was Beyonce. I think she had a moment of silence at one of her concerts for little Trayvon Martin. Jamie Foxx weighed in. He says that, Jamie Foxx says that we will make sure that he does not die in vain. Well, you know what, Jamie Foxx, nobody wants anybody to die in vain. But he wasn't a bloody war veteran who was shot defending his country. He was a punk wandering around in an area where he didn't belong. And something else that really, really, really is getting to me are these T-shirts and these signs that say, "We are all Trayvon Martin." No, I'm not. I'm one of your white so-called biatches in nowhere Canada. Not Trayvon. I'm not. We are all Trayvon Martin. Man. But I will tell you, I am not ever going to watch anything by Jamie Foxx or Chris Rock ever again. I am boycotting these two performers. I've had it with this. And you know what? That's something else that really, really gets my goat. Actors, performers, singers, stepping in and offering their political opinion. You know what? About 20 years ago, maybe 30 years ago, and I might be showing my age, but Barbara Streisand, she made a political comment. And somebody said to her, "Just shut up and sing." I agree with that. Shut up and sing. These actors come along and try to espouse their opinions, and especially something as dissentious as this, is just unbelievable. But like I say, these are entertainment heavyweights. They're household names. But when they come out and they talk about racism, offer their opinion. This is what we get. This is what we can expect. Al Sharpton, you are a first-class asshat for even getting your nose in this. I want you to remember Al Sharpton. I want you to remember names. You remember Shannon. You remember Christopher. You remember these people that were brutally murdered. Remember Autumn. I'm going to change topics in a minute because I do have some news on Islam. Mm-hmm. But my friend Becky wrote this in her blog, and this is from the Conservative Cauldron. As a matter of fact, got the link right here. You guys will find this absolutely fascinating. This article that she wrote. There we go. From her blog. And that is Becky Noble. And by the way, while I'm... you guys are going to think I'm such a shill, but I'm not. I'm not. It's just that I know what I like, and I like what I know, and I love sharing with you. Is that Becky Noble, she has her own program here on Blog Talk Radio. 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Friday nights. And she has the most 30 minutes of fireball awesomeness. I love that show. But she wrote this article in her blog, and it is entitled, Could It Happen to You? She wrote this yesterday. Is the verdict? Well, here, you know what? I'm going to let pretty much her words speak to you through me. This is her article, but it's really, really good. While the verdict is in, the jury has spoken. Whether you like the outcome or not, our justice system works for everyone. First of all, we must recognize the first victims in these cases, in this case, and I'm sorry, my page is jumping around a little bit on me. First of all, we must recognize the first true victim in this case. A young man's life was tragically struck down before it had a chance to really begin. Trayvon Martin will never know the pride and accomplishment of such milestones in life as high school and college graduation, leaving home, getting a job, getting married, and having a family of his own. It happens to too many young men like him. Sabrina Fulton and Tracy Martin have lost their child, and they will always have holes in their hearts and will always be mourning him. No parent should ever have to endure such pain for the rest of their lives. But there is another victim. Yes, he is still alive, but is he really? On the morning of February 26th in 2012, George Zimmerman was just like you and me. He had a wife, a house, a job, and a family. That Sunday night, he decided to get some groceries and some shopping done to get ready for the weekend. I've done that. Have you? That totally innocent decision changed his life forever. Could something happen this week in the course of your daily life that could change your life in a heartbeat? Most of us will drive to a job tomorrow. George won't. More than likely, he never will. Who will hire him? Maybe you will stop off at the grocery store, too. George won't. He can no longer leave his place of residence by himself. People have threatened him. They have even created a Facebook page entitled Kill George Zimmerman. Could it happen to you? George didn't think so either. George's wife was going to school to be a nurse. Can she continue? Possibly. Zimmerman is a fairly common surname. Maybe no one will do the math. But what if they do? George's mother took the stand to defend her son, like any mother would. Can she leave her house now? Alone? George's brother Robert was also very outspoken in his defense. Should he also worry for his safety? How many friends has George lost in this circus? No one could blame people for just not being able to deal with this type of attention, no matter how good of friends they were. Or are they wondering, is this really George? How well do I really know him? Now let's look ahead a little. George and his wife are a young couple. What if they decide to have children in the future? Would those children be safe? Or will someone decide that justice for Traven includes harming that child? The CEOs of the race hustler industry, Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, I refuse to call either of them reverend, because nothing about them is. Who renders earthly judgment on them? George Zimmerman is just the latest in a long line of destroyed lives left in their wake, all in the name of civil rights. When will either of these pathetic examples of Dean's life and work, of humanity, how would they be held accountable for their atrocious actions? Is it a stretch to wonder if either of their miserable fingerprints are on the destruction of Paula Traven's life forever? Oh, I'm sorry, Traven Martin's life forever. Paula Traven is Trevor Martin's mother. My apologies. A truly sad thing. But will life really be like? What will it really be like for George Zimmerman and his family? So what will you be doing this week that George can no longer do because he must fear for his life and look over his shoulder for the rest of it? A trip to the grocery store, dinner and a movie with your spouse, maybe a ball game, or a concert, or just going to a job. Jesse and Al's dirty work is far from done in this case. They will begin camping out on the doorsteps of the Department of Justice for a chance at possible federal charges against George Zimmerman. And Eric Holder's trolls will no doubt help in any way they can. Jesse and Al, like the vampires they are, will search for another victim to feed off of. Who will be next? Could it happen to you? And like I say, that is from Becky Noble of her blog, The Conservative Cauldron. You can find Becky's blog in my blog roll at Red Fox Infidels Are Watching. That is redfoxblogger.blogspot.com. Becky's blog is in my blog roll if you want to find that article. Like I say, she published this yesterday, and I could not have said it better. So I really want to thank her for that. I'm getting down to the bottom of the hour. You guys are going to think I'm crazy. Well, I really want to share something with you, and I'm just looking for it. Let me see if I can find it. This is, I don't know. brother. Oh, I found it. Hang on. Oh, hang on. I'm just getting a pop-up here. Don't you love pop-ups? They are just lovely. And, oh, and I got a message from Poppy. And, Poppy, thank you. Yeah, I saw that. That's absolutely fascinating. My Canadian Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, he reshuffled his cabinet, and we've got a whole lot of hotties in there right now. Should be interesting. Should be an interesting cabinet that we have. Poppy, thanks for that. But like I say, I wanted to share this with you, and I'm trying to bring it up. Let me see. Here we go. Okay, don't Don't get all yelly on me yet. I'm not quite done introducing you Muslim Brotherhood supporters. This is unreal, okay? Now I'm getting into Islam. You guys listen to my show and you know what I do with Islam. I pretty much wrap it up in a ball and throw it in a corner before I discuss their underbellies, what they are, what they represent, what they mean, and how they're damaging. You know what I do. You understand that I am on a mission right here. I may not be able to kinetically get to the rallies. Well, first of all, that would be kind of hard for me because I live in the middle of nowhere. So for me to organize a rally in my neck of the woods, it would consist of farm animals. And we might be protesting, I don't know, our property tax increases. I do have a lot of respect, though, for people that are able to organize and rally and speak out and do it kinetically and talk about the scourge of Islam. I admire people like that. This is why I am such an admirer of the English Defense League. They get out there. They're on the streets. They're doing it. If I lived in an urban center, say maybe Toronto or Montreal or Vancouver, where we could organize something, I would be there first and foremost. And I am a division member of the Jewish Defense League here in Canada. They have rallies. Like I say, I am so far away from everything, like geographically, it really disappoints me sometimes because I know the rallies are going on and I know that people are working so hard to organize, to share with you what the scourge of Islam is up to. But I do have a big old voice, and I hope that every little bit helps. Every little bit helps. If you cannot be physically at a rally, or if you cannot have a radio show, well, do something. Create a Facebook page. Create a blog. Or if you can't even do that, just talk to people. Read books. Educate yourself on what Islam is. Do yourself a favor. Get a book called The Reliance of the Traveler. It's a very dense read, but it's very, very much an educational novel. Well, you know what? It's not even a novel. It's like it's a tome. Lots in there. But we all do what we can because we're all in this together. We do fight Islam all together. This is why I am such a strong proponent of these radio programs that I listen to, Radio Jihad Network. And there's a new one out there. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but there is a new show out there. I don't think he's new, But there are very fine men and women behind the United States Defense League. They have a program right here on Blog Talk Radio, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturdays. Listen to that program. It is a wonderful program. I am so grateful to always welcome new members with the voices fighting this Islamic scourge into our fold, because this is what we try to do. We just try to educate you. I noticed, actually, that the co-creator of the Radio Jihad Network is with me, and that is Vito Esposito. His show will be up tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and that is the Radio Jihad Network. Try to be there, please. I know a lot of you are my Facebook friends, and you listen, and I know a lot of you have joined my Facebook page, Infidels Are Watching. I will have the link for the show up there in the page as soon as I wrap up my nifty little show here. But please try to be there. It's very important. We need more and more voices. We need more and more people out there talking about and exposing what Islam is. But yeah, I went off on a tangent. That's me. But I wanted to share this with you. I was rather, discouraged, because I did a show about Mohammed Morsi last week here, talking about how Egypt, it was not a coup, but it was a revolution. And what do we have happening in dear old Canada? We have Muslim Brotherhood supporters. They have a rally. That's right. This is courtesy of Blazing Cat Fur. But I'm going to play the video. I'm going to do my color commentary on it, though, because some of it is, hilarious. Take a listen. Okay, I'm just going to pause it there for a minute, because in this video, there's some dude running around with a stovepipe hat, okay? And it's like a cat in the hat. It's emblazoned with Canadian symbols, and this dude is running around wearing a cat in the hat. He looks like such a doofus. Hang on, let's carry on, shall we? What a bunch of idiots. Oh, and I want to thank Blazing Cat for that. That is priceless. But I shared the link in the chat room for you, but you've got to watch it, especially for the guy running around in the cat in the hat. Oh, Canada. Yeah, I don't think so, buddy. You know what? We do not support the Muslim Brotherhood in Canada. As a matter of fact, the Muslim Brotherhood is actually a banned entity in many places. We do not recognize front groups like the Council of American Islamic Relations. Legally, we are forced to, because we know that they are front groups, but we know realistically what they are. Why do you think Canada shut down their embassies in Iran and in Egypt? because we know what's going on. We know what's going on with Morsi. We're not stupid. And the thing is that these people can protest this bull in my streets, in my country. You know what? They're not living under Sharia law. They're not living under the threat of their constitution being rewritten to suit Sharia law and the Muslim Brotherhood. I am telling you, I do not understand why nobody stood up in 1928 and said no, and how their manifesto got so far, but it did. The Muslim Brotherhood is so far reaching at this point. I am beside myself. I don't even know how to explain to you just how frustrated some days my days are when I read the stuff that comes across my desk and I have to share with you what Muslims are up to now. And you know what? They're not Muslims. They're Muslims. And they're Islamists. Muslims, you guys better, you know what? You better get your act together, because we are really getting sick and tired of this business. We're getting sick and tired of opening up our dailies and reading about the latest beheading of a Coptic Christian in Egypt. We're getting sick and tired of hearing about how you kidnapped another reporter and beheaded him in front of the camera while yelling, "Allahu Akbar." We're really, really getting sick and tired, Muslims. Get your S-H-I-T together, because if you don't, we will. The West is getting tired of it. We're sick and tired of listening to stories on the news about a woman who was gang raped by a group of Islamists. We're sick and tired of having to go to our drugstore and buy a bottle of brown hair dye because our blonde or red hair is too alluring for you, that you cannot keep your eyes off us and must have us. We're sick and tired of you converting our children into your evil cult. It's not a religion. It's a cult. We know it, and you know it. What you're up to, we're on to you. You know what? You cannot run. You cannot hide, because we're here. We are doing what we are doing to expose exactly what you are, you evil, evil beasters. We are sick and tired of hearing you refer to us as infidels. And, well, you know what? That one I don't mind, because I am an infidel. So go screw yourself, Islam. But we are not apes, and we are not pigs. We are the righteous people. We are the ones that keep this planet peaceful. You're the ones disrupting us. You're the ones who will be responsible for any issues. And they are coming soon, the issues of global conflict. You know what? Islam, every time I turn around, all I hear about is something really nasty coming out of the Middle East. Or it's coming out of the West, maybe in Europe, maybe in Canada, maybe the United States. But there is always a Muslim behind it. Boston bombings, 9/11, 7/7, Spain. Every time, Africa, at the embassies. Every time I turn around, there's a Muslim's name attached to it. Algeria, North, like I say, North Africa. You guys are all over the map with your hatred and your vile filth and your distorted sense of religion, which it is not. We know it is not. We're getting tired. And you know what? The gloves are off. The gloves are off. We have people standing up and telling you right now, shape it up. And Muslims, back to you. Get a grip. This is not a religion. It's a cult. You have been drawn into a global cult. There are 1.6 billion cultists out there. I will not put up with a Muslim saying, well, you're getting it all wrong. No, we've got it all right. We know what it's about. And I'm just repeating myself. You know what? I'm sitting here. I got my hand waving in the air, and I'm swinging in my chair because it's just like, am I blowing more and more and more hot air? Like, am I repeating myself again? I don't know. All I know is that I'm sick of it, and I want it to stop now. I am sick of Islam. I'm sick of what they're doing. And quit protesting in my streets. Stop it. Don't hold your bloody rallies in my streets. Supporting the Muslim Brotherhood. Really? Come on. Mohammed Morsi, are you for real? Really? And you live in my country? And this is how you conduct yourself within my country? Really? You support a theocratic. Do you know what Morsi was up to? Yes, I know. Don't tell me all about, well, he was democratically elected. No, he was not. There were elections. People voted. It wasn't democratic. Not in my eyes, anyway. Technically, maybe in yours. But no, this guy got in because he lied. And what did he do as soon as he got in? He wanted to change Egypt's constitution and introduce Sharia law. For God's sake, come on. Morsi is the same one who went on air on Arabic. I don't know where he was. It was a couple of years back, this dude. He's the one who said that all Jews are apes and pigs. That was the leader of Egypt. That the people finally figured out of whom he was about and ejected him. And it was not a coup. The army did not take over the government. It was not a coup. It was a revolution. Get that through your minds, people in Toronto, in your safe little comfy Toronto neighborhoods. Yeah, you can go on the streets and espouse all you want, but you know, and I know, that we do not live under what Egypt was experiencing. We know what those people faced with the threat of full-bore Sharia law. So knock it off already. And Muslims, like I'm saying, get your act together. Come back to me when you have a reformed religion. Until then, it's nothing but a cult. Until then, I will not treat your book as a scholarly writing. It will always be nothing more than an evil green book because it does nothing but teach how to hate, how to kill, how to conquer the infidel, which I am. You know what? I don't know what to tell you guys. I sit here, like I said, I was accused of not being a true infidel warrior. I was, because I don't go out on the streets and march. I'm not, like I say, I'm not kinetically out there. Well, like I've explained, that I live in the middle of nowhere. But I do have a voice, and it's big, and sometimes it's misguided. And sometimes I do not convey what I want to in the most succinct light that I would want you to understand. But I, you know what, I don't even think I should use that word understand because I have very, very, very bright listeners. I have very, very, very smart followers. They know what I'm doing. They know why I'm here. They know what I'm up to. I do have a big voice, and I do have a loud one. And like I say, there's a lot that we can do. We don't have to get out there. We don't have to. It's nice to put the boots on the ground. I wish I could, but I can't. But we do have other avenues of getting the word out that there is work to be done. Islam is the greatest threat that we are facing right now. Okay, I'm going to wrap up the show. But before I let you go, I want to remind you that we have a brand new program. Like I say, I told you about the United States Defense League, Saturday evening, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Please check that out. But also check out all the programs on the Radio Jihad Network. I'm going to bring that up for you right now. Like I say, tonight we have Vito Esposito. We have, on Tuesdays, the Andrew Bizet Show. On Wednesdays, we have the Eliza Jane Show. On Thursdays, we have the Gadi Edelman Show. On Friday, and that is still to be announced for their time slot, the Lisa Marie Johnson Show with Etam. On Saturday, we have Usama Dakduk. And on Sunday, we have the Uncle Dave Show. And like I say, I always say we, because it is a collective. We are all in this together. So make sure you check out these programs, and please be here tonight, right here on Block Talk Radio at 6 p.m. to listen to the Vito Esposito Show on Radio Jihad Network. And before I do let you go, I actually I have another show. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, I'm telling you, lots of shows out there. But on Thursday afternoon at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, I am very proud to announce that you have a new voice to listen to in regards of Islam. That is a show. It is called The Cross in the Desert, and the host is Randy L. Noble. You can hear him this Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Central Time. Please try to be here for that. It's a fantastic show that he has. It's a new show. He really is a great voice. He's a wonderful man, and he is another one who's trying to enlighten you to the scourges that go on out there. I am done. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you very much for joining me. I was very, very, very animated today. I know. Expect a lot more of it if this continues. And, hey, Al Sharpton, want a Skype date, baby? Woohoo! All right. All right. Now I just got silly. No, but I'm serious. You guys, I really do appreciate you listening to me. And I appreciate that you listen in the archive. I know you do, because, holy smokes, I don't know what happened. But for some reason, my show jumped from page 11 to page 3 in 24 hours. So what are you guys doing out there? Are you passing my show around behind my back? What are you guys doing? Anyway, it's all I can do. I try my best. I try to educate you. And you know what, though? Like, I have a voice, and you guys help me share it. I really appreciate everything that everybody does to help the Red Fox blogger. I appreciate that you find me interesting enough to listen to, even if I do get rather silly about it some days. But look, I'm out of here. Before I do go, though, I just want to remind you guys, okay? It's your country. Take it back. I will see you on Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Everybody, have a great evening.